Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 27, hear now the word of the Lord. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Strict orders not to teach in this. Yet you have filled Jerusalem, determined to make us guilty of blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors, hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious, and they wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the day and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now you'd think that the death of the Messiah would have been the end of it. That's what the Jewish leaders would have liked. That's what the Roman authorities would have liked too. They wanted their own sort of peace and unity, which for them meant that everyone agrees with them and does what they want done without objection and certainly without protest. But Easter Sunday seemed to change things. The resurrection of Jesus from death to life again turned the vile plans of the evildoers on their heads. The disciples were scared rabbits after Good Friday because of the death of Jesus. It looked like it was all over. It was the end. They had left family and friends and jobs to go and to follow Jesus as the Messiah. And after Good Friday, it just seemed like it was all over. Jesus was gone. But throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we see a different kind of disciple. We see different sorts of disciples. The resurrection changed the disciples from scared rabbits into world-changing missionaries. They changed from being timid and hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews to boldly proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. Right smack dab in the middle of the temple courts, right there in the middle of all of Judaism. Not only that, after repeated warnings and beatings, they continued to teach and to proclaim the good news. Repentance, forgiveness of sins, eternal life in Christ. This news and the effects of believing this gospel was too good, too powerful, too glorious, too life-changing to contain or just to keep within oneself. No, religion is not private, like some sort of hobby that you do in your basement that you never show to anyone else. No, it's more like your child's dreaded glitter. It gets everywhere. It covers all of life. The world needed to know this unstoppable gospel message that was too good to contain or to keep quiet about. So throughout the book of Acts, we read of the unstoppable nature of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People couldn't stop saying the name. This book of the Bible is more than just a mere history book that maybe you've heard about, the book of Acts. In this book, we read about the power of the gospel, a gospel that spreads across language and national barriers, a gospel that moves from the poor to the rich and then back again, a gospel that spreads to the powerful and the elite. The gospel, it's a gospel that seems to have a universal attraction across all people and racial groups of the world. And in Acts chapter 5, the followers of Jesus continue to speak the name in spite of oppression. In verses 12 through 16 of this chapter, it tells us of the power the apostles had to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And even Peter's shadow seems to have had some effect in that story. But in a strange juxtaposition, it says in verse 13 that no one dared join them, even though they were highly regarded among the people. Word had spread about this Ananias and Sapphira, you remember? How they were struck dead when they tried to pull one over on the apostles? Well, word had spread about this God who has standards. And so there was this holy fear among the people about this God that the apostles preached about, a God that not only raises the dead and heals the sick, but a God who has certain lifestyle standards and requires a certain morality and a set of values that conform to his word, the Bible. So people were reluctant to join them, except in this strange juxtaposition, it goes on to say in verse 14, nevertheless, even with that holy fear that some of the people were having, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Though some were reluctant to join, others did join them. The numbers were growing daily. People were coming to Jesus and putting their faith in him and trusting him. And they were seeing life transformation and even world transformation all around. But in verses 17 to 18, the apostles are arrested by this Jewish faction called the Sadducees, led by the high priest. It says they were jealous because of all the attention the apostles were getting, and so they put them in jail. And in the book of Acts, we constantly read about these roadblocks that are set up in opposition to the gospel proclamation in the world. But we also read about God intervening and powerfully enabling the gospel to continue to spread across the world, to move forward, as people kept on speaking the name of Jesus. So in verses 19 through 20, we read about this jailbreak that happens. With the help of an angel, of course, the apostles get out of jail. The Sadducees come looking for them. They see the chains on the floor, but there's no bodies in the chains, and they're still locked up. And someone comes into the room and says, those apostles you're looking for, they're in the temple courts, preaching the name of Jesus. So the angel tells them, the apostles, directly in verse 20, he says, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. In another translation, it says, tell the people the full message about this new life. In other words, hold nothing back. Don't dumb down the message of the gospel. Hold nothing back out of fear or tact or any other excuse. Tell them the full message of the gospel. How bold would you be if an angel broke you out of jail and then told you to go and to proclaim the message? The full message needs to be heard. The Sadducees are afraid to publicly arrest them because they're accepted by the people. So the apostles willingly go with them back to stand before the Jewish ruling council made up of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's kind of like our Republicans and Democrats. You have the conservatives and the more liberals, and together they were called the Sanhedrin. So this is where we get to our reading today, beginning with verse 27, where it says, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin and to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he says. You filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. See how he couldn't even say the name, this man. Living in a country where we value free speech, it might be hard for us to understand how something like this could happen. You can't go out and speak and say these things. Although even in our country, we do have incidents where free speech is valued, except when you want to talk about Jesus, you want to say the J word, or you want to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here, post-Easter, the apostles are warned not to speak in the name of Jesus. They're jailed for it. They're freed from prison. They're commissioned by the angel to go do it again. And then they are beaten. And then they continued to do it. If the resurrection of Jesus from death to life again didn't happen, would people continue to say the name of Jesus after being imprisoned, after being beaten? But they do. Peter and the other apostles, they replied to the high priest, saying in verse 29, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from dead, whom you have killed by hanging him on a cross." Peter's making a point here. The religious leaders would believe that they had very little to do with the death of Jesus. Peter places a large portion of the blame on them, and he says, "This is what you have done. Now this is what God did." Verse 31, "God exalted him to the right hand, to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins." God is a higher authority. Just as God has raised up leaders in the past like Joshua and Moses and David, and now God has raised up Jesus Christ as Prince and Savior of all. You, the apostle says, you killed him by hanging him on a cross. That's what you did. But this is what God did. God raised Jesus to life again and exalted him for the sake of repentance and forgiveness of sins. God did that. In verse 32, the apostles continue, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." You see what's going on here? Even while they're in prison, even while they're being tried here for speaking in the name of Jesus, they speak the name of Jesus. They share the gospel message. Jesus died, he rose again, he lives forevermore. Jesus died, he rose again, he lives forevermore. They repeat the message no matter where they are, whether they're in court, whether they're in prison, whether they're out in the temple courts. Jesus died, he rose again, he lives forevermore. They continue to teach and proclaim the facts of the gospel message because Christianity has a message. There's content to that message. It's not just a fuzzy feeling. It's rooted in history. It has an ongoing power to heal and forgive and to set free. Some are afraid of the message, and they flee, they reject it. Others are attracted to it, and they join those who follow Jesus in this thing called the church. The mighty power that once raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in those who believe, the power of the Holy Spirit. As it says back at the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, it is the power from the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, the larger regions, and to the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit will give you the strength, the courage, the power to say the name of Jesus wherever you are, whatever roadblock you come across. Acts is a book about the beginnings of the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. It's the unstoppable spreading force because the Holy Spirit of God empowers the witnesses of Christ no matter what adversity or roadblocks they may encounter along the way. So with such a powerful and wonderful message, the message of the good news about Jesus and his resurrection, with such a wonderful message, the apostles could do nothing else except to keep saying the name, to keep teaching it, to obey God rather than people. And Jesus once told them also in John chapter 15, "When the Counselor comes," meaning the Holy Spirit, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, he will bear witness to me, and you also are witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning." So having experienced the risen Lord Jesus, the followers of Jesus just cannot contain this message within themselves or keep it a secret or keep it in their basement somewhere as a hobby for themselves. They're compelled to teach it, to proclaim it in the public and in private small groups, and to just let it glitter all over their lives, all over their relationships, all over their friendships, all over their work, in their conversations, in their emails, in their text messages with others. It just glitters all over. That's what the gospel is when you believe it. But when the Sanhedrin heard the gospel message, it says in verse 33, they were furious and they wanted to put them to death. But a wiser, older Pharisee named Gamaliel, respected by all the people, he stood up, asked that the apostles be taken out of the room before they did something rash, and so that he could speak to his colleagues there. He reminds them of a couple of others in history, probably recent history, who have been rebels, who gained a following, but when the leader died, when they died, their followers scattered, all came to nothing. There have been times in the past, he says to them, reminds them, when some charismatic preacher came on the scene and he gained a crowd, he gained a following for a while. But when that preacher died or was arrested or moved away, well, the crowd just scattered and it all came to nothing. And then those people just went looking for Mr. Wonderful all over again. Leave these men alone, Gamaliel advised them concerning the apostles. If this is of human origin, the whole thing will just come to nothing, like the examples he just gave. But if these apostles and the gospel which they proclaim is actually of God, then you will not be able to stop these men, and you will only find yourselves fighting against God. Gamaliel demonstrated this wisdom and patience and this trust in God's sovereignty through what was for them probably an emotional setting, emotional moment. And he actually persuaded this bloodthirsty colleagues of his in the Sanhedrin. So in verse 40, it very quickly says the apostles brought in, they were flogged, that means they were whipped, and then they were sent on their way with the same warning: do not speak in the name of Jesus. Now you know that you know that they're not going to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. After all of that, in the very next verse, it says the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. But wait, did I read that right? Rejoicing? They were just beaten. They were just whipped. But yes, it does say the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, for the name. Then in verse 42, day after day, in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Day after day, in the temple court, smack dab right in the middle of all of Judaism right there, they continued to say the J word in public. They found joy in their suffering for the name. So the book of the Acts of the Apostles has this basic theme throughout all the pages of the triumph of the gospel in the midst of, in spite of, the intense adversity and the roadblocks that were set up. Over and over again, a roadblock is set up, free speech is denied, the apostles are jailed, the disciples are killed, governments make their decrees, religious leadership gets in the way, and then the Holy Spirit shows up. Then the Holy Spirit shows up and makes a way. People are healed, demons are cast out, the church continues to grow incessantly, and it spreads throughout the world by this Holy Spirit-empowered evangelism, even in the most trying of times and circumstances, and by some of the most unlikely people and characters that were saved by God's grace. Makes me imagine and wonder what we can do with some of the unlikely characters we have here in this room that God saves, God can use to his glory. You see, death was no threat to the disciples because Christ had already won the victory over death in the grave. And as the Apostle Paul once wrote, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. It's the power of Easter to embolden us to say the name of Jesus. He is a greater authority than any teacher or any professor or any president. Better to obey God rather than a person. Well, you know, this Sunday worship service after Easter is traditionally pretty quiet. Maybe it's generally less attended on this Sunday. There's fewer brass instruments and flowers around, things like that. But that's okay. Church attendance has ebbed and flowed over the years, the centuries, from year to year and place to place or church to church, and for various reasons that pastors and church elders can't always get their heads around. But it's still rather miraculous if you think about it. People still come. After 2,000 years, people still come to a worship service in the name of Jesus. People continue to come to a worship service, and they continue to say the name of Jesus even when someone tells them not to. And the Holy Spirit uses our witness to speak into the lives of others as God gathers in his church. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop it. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. You got that right, Gamaliel. Praise the Lord. You join me in prayer. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to you we give our praise and thanksgiving this morning. Thank you for the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit, who continues to embolden believers all over the world to courageously teach and proclaim the good news. We pray for the safety, protection, and for boldness for our missionaries who continue to do this important work of spreading the gospel around the world, sometimes in very dangerous parts of the world. May they succeed in their work, and may the name of Jesus continue to be spread. May the message of the risen Lord be known in all nations and languages of the world. Continue to raise up, we pray, church leaders, pastors, missionaries, and chaplains who will never stop saying the name of Jesus. Bless our own missionary, Don Slager, and his work in Bible translation, so that others may say the name of Jesus in their own languages. Protect him, guide him in all that he does and his travels to Liberia soon. Be near to Pastor Mike and his work with university students and saying the name of Jesus on a secular campus. And we pray for your blessing for Joshua Amazechi and his leadership for Lima, teaching and training up knowledgeable and competent pastors in Africa who are unashamed to say the name of Jesus wherever they go. We thank you, Lord, that we may participate in these missions and ministries, showing and telling the love of Christ through word and deed. And may you be glorified in our lives, Lord, as we boldly teach and proclaim the gospel message in our families and to others in our community too. For it is in the mighty name of the risen Lord Jesus we pray. Amen.